first thing that the band or the tribe did was to gather the most sturdy tribesmen and send them out to scout the terrain. Upon finding a suitable terrain, one that which included a cliff, they would report back to the camp chief. Then he would apparently call from among the ranks somebody supposedly in possession of a supernatural medicine that called for a successful buffalo hunt. Upon designation of an individual, this individual would then go out to the selected terrain, which may include a 3-mile radius. And the first thing he would do would to plant a stick in the ground and attach either an eagle feather or an eagle plume. Now this was nothing of a supernatural connotation, but the eagle plume or the eagle feather would tell the person of the wind direction. Saying at a 24-hour period. And he can judge from this just how and when the wind would shift. Upon completing that, then he would have some of the people lay out a line. And these lines were actually stones placed in a straight line toward the cliff. And upon these were to be coals or fire. And this was the barrier that they constructed. They used two things in constructing these barriers. One was what they called a bear root. It was a herb that is found in the Bighorn Mountains, and if they were not in possession of that, they would use a variety of the sagebrush. They used these two plants because upon being placed upon a fire or a coal, these two plants give off a very pungent odor, which can be detected many miles away. The theory behind these is that where there is smoke, there is fire, according to the animal. Therefore, they will not cross this line, and it acted as a corral or a barrier. They will start these lines of fire or smoke, and they will drive the herd toward the cliff. For the most part, men did not take an active part at this stage. The women were used, and they would, for the affair, probably dress themselves up in fanciful costumes. But the main reason the women were used because of their tone or pitch of voice. Their voice range was a lot higher than the men, and could be carried many more miles than the men. For this reason, the women were used in the buffalo hunts. And they would surround themselves in back of the buffalo in somewhat of a line toward the cliffs. They would start hollering, make chants, and whatever comes to their mind. And upon hearing this, the buffalo would then begin to bunch together and head in the opposite direction. And once they came within the range of these fire lines or smoke lines, they were more or less forced to take one direction, that's toward over the cliff. By this time, the herd has been stampeded, so that the only thing that they see is what is in front of them. They are frightened, and they cannot but go on a straight line. Certainly, some people around there begin to foresee a successful hunt and begin to sing songs and whatever comes to their mind. But Meanwhile, the women were still behind the buffalo, waving flags and still shouting. The men did not come into the act until the buffalo were within the smoke line or the fire line. Then they would, either on foot or by horseback, drive the buffalo over the cliff. And this is where the women again come into the part, because they were needed for butchering of the buffalo in order to cut the meat up into various parts. And it supposedly has been said that the woman only knows the good part of the tribe or the entrails of the buffalo. Therefore, it was necessary to have a woman if he wanted to get the best part of the buffalo, which at that time meant the entrails of the buffalo. They could wash the entrails and cook it right there on the spot. And once the buffalo was over the cliff, there were some people waiting down there, armed with whatever weapons were necessary to destroy the buffalo if they were not killed outright. And once all the buffalo were killed, then they began to divide up the herd among the various families and groups. And not only were the meat and hide taken, but various parts of the bones were taken along with the meat and the hide, because these bones served as tools. And sometimes the skull was taken because it was a prized possession, something in line of a war bonnet. The people that led a successful hunt were supposedly to be endowed with supernatural powers, but I was told by my grandfather in later years that it only takes common sense to lead a buffalo hunt, because at one time, a man by the name of Two Leggins, who did not possess any power to lead a successful buffalo hunt, did actually lead two or three, based upon his own observation while he was a kid, and acting as a scavenger. And that the whole band regarded him as a buffalo hunter. But he did acknowledge to my grandfather that he had not possessed any medicine or supernatural power to lead a successful hunt, but he was able to do so because he had observed how the hunt was conducted and merely duplicated what was to be taken step by step.
Now, what do you mean by scavenger?
A scavenger is a person who did not have any uncles or brothers, or more or less an orphan, and who usually lived with a grandmother or aunt in a family where there was no men. Being young and not being able to have in possession of good horses or other necessary implements to go on a hunt, he would usually follow the buffalo hunt and retrieve whatever meat or pieces of meat that was left behind in order to survive. Sometimes these scavengers would actually go from teepee to teepee after a successful hunt asking for a piece of meat. And because of the nature of the Indian at this time, such a request was never turned down. Sometimes these scavengers included some old woman, but for the most part it included little orphan boys, about 10 to 13 years old. But scavengers were considered to be part of the group, and sometimes people would deliberately leave a piece of the meat or the hide for the other people to pick up because it was considered inappropriate and uncommon courtesy to ask for a piece of the meat or hide during the hunt.
Joe, the buffalo hunt that Two Leggings led, or any of the buffalo hunts that Two Leggings led, were not buffalo jumps, were they?
No, they were not. This came after the acquisition of the horses. But he still used the techniques that were used during the days of the buffalo, jump up to the point where you drive the buffalo over the cliff. He knew how to find the wind direction. He knew the terrain where the buffalo would be likely to hang out. Now, the people who led these successful hunts in establishing where the buffalo should be would look for two things, water and grass. Usually, in a dry summer, you would find buffalo within a 3-mile radius of a good abundance of grass or water. So these people, using this knowledge, were able to determine just exactly where the herd would be. And in later years, Two Leggings used this knowledge to find buffalo. He knew the area real well. He knew where the springs were, where there was a water hole. And he was able to go into the area and tell the tribe that the buffalo was almost over the next ridge. And to the people, they thought that he had possessed supernatural power, but during his days as an orphan, he began to pick up his practical knowledge and was able to use it in later years to his own benefit. And I might add that Two Leggings, being an orphan, did achieve the rank of a chief in later years due to his being an orphan. That he was able to salvage for himself, that he didn't have any supernatural power or anything, but he had practical knowledge and so-called common sense, and he was able to use this to his advantage in later years in attaining rank of a chief.